This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Richard Stone. He's going to be talking about how powerful telling our own authentic story can be. For the past 30 years, Richard has been assisting organizations across the country to tell their story better. As CEO of StoryWork International, he's been pioneering new approaches to bringing the practical and applications of storytelling into all facets of business, healthcare, education, and society. He has co-developed the award-winning board game Pitch a Story and has authored numerous books, including his newest one, Story Intelligence. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, Richard?
Oh, thanks for having me, Mari. I'm doing very well. Thank you. I appreciate being here.
I'm loving to have you today. So tell me a little bit about how you started this whole thing.
Well, you know, I always tell people you have to be careful who you're sitting next to on an airplane. A lot of us haven't flown on an airplane lately, but probably a good 30-plus years ago, I was coming back from a hiking trip out west, and I was sitting next to a couple of people who turned out to be backpackers themselves, and we're talking about all kinds of things and trails we've hiked, and at some point they said, have you ever been to the National Storytelling Festival? And I said, well, I have no idea. What's that? I had no clue. And I ended up getting to know them, and I went up to the festival. It's in a little town called Jonesboro, Tennessee, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and had an epiphany sitting in the audience. I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow.
At the time, I was running an ad agency. I'd been doing it for a number of years, and actually, I had put it up for sale, not knowing what was next. I just knew that it was killing me, and I had to get out. Mm. And so that was the beginning, because the agency sold not too long after that, and I embarked on a career in story, not quite knowing what that was going to be like or where that would lead me. But I remember sitting with my father having dinner, and he said, you're going to sell your successful business to do what? I didn't have a clear answer for him at the time, but I just said, I'm called to do this. This is what I need to do. And here I am.
That's fantastic. I love that story. So, wow. Make sure you talk to people that are sitting on the plane next to you, because you never know what they can open up for you, right?
Well, that's right. You just don't know. Yeah, some stranger may be holding the key to something that you don't even know that you need. Absolutely.
I know.
So you have to be open.
Wonderful. And I love the way that you already had your business for sale, right? And things are just flowing in this direction for you. Really, really nice. So.
Yeah.
Why is telling your authentic story, each of us telling our authentic story, so powerful, Richard?
Well, yeah, you know, that's a wonderful question, because there's something that I think precedes the story. It's discovering our own authenticity in our own selves. And that's not easy. There's a wonderful quote I've heard before, is that the universe buries our deep purpose and calling in the earth, and it's our job to find it. And sometimes it's, you know, it's hidden. And
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of our journey, I think, in our life is to discover what is it that calls us forward, and that we have something special to bring to the world in whatever manner or fashion or form that is. So I think the first thing we have to do is really figure out, what is that? What am I called to do here? And that's not always easy to do. And my partner, my writing partner, has a wonderful moniker. It's made up of three words, and the way you order those words has a lot to do, I think, with your life satisfaction. And those words are be, do, and have.
Mm.
So. In this country, I think, and especially because we have such an emphasis on, you know, having a lot of things, and you know, monetary, you know, success, we often order those three words as have, do, be. So So right. I want to have a bigger house. What do I need to do to get it? I want to have a new car. All the things, material things that we get on a kind of the hamster wheel pursuing. And that's a never-ending quest that never quite fills us up because, we get the new house and then we look across the street, someone's building a bigger house. And we want a bigger house. And so that does not lead, I think, to deep satisfaction or fulfillment or happiness. The other way to order those words is be, do, have. Who do I want to be or become as a human being? And what do I need to do to accomplish that? And then if I act out of that, if I am acting authentically with who I am, then life just brings us things. People show up on the airplane at the right time, to say, hey, have you ever been to this thing or have you ever tried that? And it's like, oh, I had never even thought of that. So that's the first step of that for me, I think, is to figure out who I need to be, who am I? And if I can get close to that, and our stories can be a route to that, actually. They can be very useful in that process.
Right. I love that. Be, do, and have. Love it. We don't get a lot of training on how to be other than just following rules in this country. Everybody has to be
well,
the
same.
Well,
that's true, yeah. Yeah. We don't kind of, they don't give us the manual, right? Yeah, I mean, your parents didn't give you the manual about how to become an authentic person when you were young. At least I didn't in my family, and I think that's true for most, is that, we didn't get the manual, and so that's part of the process for us is to, the other part of this, I think, Mari, is that we're all born into a story. Our family story was already going along when we showed up,
Right.
And so the real task, I think, for all of us is to figure out what's authentically our story. And sometimes the stories that we have adopted as sort of the truth, and this is the way things are, either from family or society or our culture, aren't authentic. They don't resonate with us. They're not authentic. And so that's part of the process also is ferreting out who am I in all this and what story do I want to author and create? And once you ask that question, then you can be, I think, be on the road to creating your authentic story, because then you can become the author of that story, which is, I think, the real task for all of us.
That's a great question. What's authentically our story? Or I could say to myself, what's authentically my story? Because I come from a family of immigrants, so they had their own story of struggle, how hard it was to make a living in Cuba, coming to the States to give their future children, because they didn't even have children yet, a better life, right? So it's funny how you take the story of your ancestors instead of starting a new story. Well, now here we are in this country where everything is possible compared to other countries. So I love that. That's a really great thing to ask. What is authentically our story? Very good.
Well,
Yeah.
There's one more piece, if we got a moment. Let me tell you. So there's some wonderful researchers here in Atlanta where I live at Emory, and they've been looking at intergenerational family stories. So there is great benefit. So your family who went through great struggle to come to this country, those stories are valuable for you. And they found that children who grow up hearing those intergenerational stories and the challenges, the one getting through difficulties and having nothing and making something, those kids grow up with greater resilience and self-esteem. So we do need those stories. Okay, they can be valuable, what I would call narrative assets for us. They are part of us, and we can draw upon them. They're really useful.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree in that. What I would agree is in staying in the struggle. Sometimes when your parents have struggled so much, struggle is kind of your story, right? You make that your story. Okay, well, now I'm going to struggle.
Yeah. And so that does not have to be your story.
Exactly.
You can choose to create a new story. There's some value you can glean from that, the things that are lessons there, but you don't have to define yourself by that story. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So Richard, what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, the thing that I've been working on over the last couple of years is that I think that we all have a thing that I call story intelligence, and I know we'll probably talk about the book after the break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that this is something that's innately, we're wired for story as human beings, and yet we don't realize it. We don't realize the things that we call true are most often just a story we have about something that happened. And we can have a story about another person we work with, for example, and that's a story based on maybe something they did that, you know, and then we have a conclusion. Therefore, this person's a jerk or maybe this person's a lovely person, whatever it is. And so when we begin to become aware that we are story makers and that we're swimming in stories, we need to both become better authors of our stories, but better consumers of our stories, stories around us, because we're swimming in stories. And if we just ingest them, you know, without examination, some of those stories are poisonous. And we're seeing examples of that today, is that, so if we just take any story that someone said and say, hey, did you hear, you know, and then people go off and do crazy things. Well, I said, well, but that story was on the internet and I thought it was true. And so if we don't take the stories and examine them and ask, is that true? How do we know the story is true? You know, where did the story come from? Who's telling it? What's their agenda in telling a story like this?
Right.
So if we become more, I would say, more knowledgeable and more gifted around discerning what's the right story and what are true stories, what are authentic stories, I think we have a potential to create a better world for all of us.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when you were talking about the coworker, and is this a true story? So maybe your coworker is acting like a jerk, but something happened, right? It's not that the person is a jerk, but a circumstance, right? They come into the office, they may not be at their best. So now you create this whole story around this person, but maybe it was just a one-time thing. So you're right. We have to delve in and see what is the truth. And I learned early on to be very careful of other people's opinions about a person, place, or thing, because they're getting it from their point of view. And then sometimes I would experience the same person, place, or thing and have a completely different experience, right? So And in these days when, you know, days of internet, of social media, of everything bombarding us with what you're calling stories, it's very hard to discern what's true or not. So it's best to just, you know, be very, very careful. Very good. I love that.
And one of the big difficulties with that is that if someone tells us a story about somebody else, it gets anchored in our mind. It's really hard to get that out of our mind. It sort of colors everything. And
it
so we have to be very careful about when someone's talking about somebody else and they have an opinion or they have a story. Well, you know, that can influence you in some really negative ways, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Richard a question, you can call in right now. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477. Start calling now, and we'll be right back.
New York, 1971. After surviving an assassination attempt on my life, I created another alias, Bulletproof. The mafia lifestyle can get messy when you start an all-out war on the mob. You know that movie, The Godfather? Well, I'm living it. Let's just say robbing a mob's money drop sets the whole war in motion. This thrilling killer series, Killer with a Heart, Killer with Three Heads, and coming soon, Killer with Black Blood by J.L. Hill, keeps your blood pumping. Get these urban crime fictions from Amazon or RockHillPublishing.com.
What happens in your body begins with your energy. If you can't find relief from your pain, it may be time to look deeper. Mindy Stritch is a certified healing therapist that will help you discover the root cause of what hurts. To learn more, schedule a free consultation. Call 678-642-7771 or visit www.mindystritch.com. That's MindyStritch.com. Restoring your energy will renew your life.
So you want your business to reach its potential? Is your technology supporting your growth or holding you back? Through business management coaching, real-time collaboration, and customized solutions, Mindcore can help leading companies take back control of their technology, streamline their business, and outperform their competition. Visit our website at mind-core.com to learn why 500-plus business leaders trust Mindcore for transforming their collaboration, cybersecurity, and cloud computing. That's mind-core.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maureen Mitchell, with special guest Richard Stone, talking about how powerful it can be to tell our own authentic story. So, Richard, you have a book that just came out. You have several, but your newest is Story Intelligence. Could you tell us a little bit about what your inspiration was for that and what the reader can expect?
Well, yes, thank you, Maureen. Because we think that story is pervasive in our lives, we began looking at the many ways that story touches us and affects us, both positively and negatively, and the ways we can use story to transform ourselves in the world and to heal many of the things that are broken in ourselves and the world. And so we identified seven powers of story. But the real beginning for this, we began looking at this question. The idea of emotional intelligence has been around for maybe 25 or 30 years, and people began writing about it some years ago. And we began thinking, there's something even bigger and more important than emotional intelligence, and that's how we came up with this idea of story intelligence, is that because if we can master our stories and master the art of story, we think that that puts us in the driver's seat in terms of being able to master life. And so there are these seven powers that I think are really crucial that people need to master, and they affect things like, how do we bring groups together? Everyone is asking the question, how do we heal the divide in this country? Mm-hmm. And part of the solution there is not just storytelling, it's also story listening. How do we listen to someone who has a different way of seeing the world, has had different experiences, curiosity, not with judgment? And so we have to be able to know the other's story. But stories can also be great tools for us to in the field of education, for example. One of my teachers through the years came out of the Oneida Native American tradition. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole way of looking at how stories can enable us to learn. In fact, they said they didn't have a word for teach. The closest translation would be enabler of learning. So how can we help children learn better, or adults? How do we as adults become better learners? And we have to be learning more quickly than we ever did before, because there's so much more to learn. And then the final piece with that is, people often think that storytelling is about something in the past, telling a story about the past times. But I think that we're actually wired for story really to be more prospective, to be able to tell stories about the future. And the people who develop their imagination skills to be able to imagine a better future are probably better equipped to be able to realize it and to be able to create a new story. So that's kind of a broad brush feel for the book, but that's why we created the book and what we're doing with it.
Wow, very good. Sounds amazing. I love the story about your future, because I remember doing an exercise I had read in a book to write the story of how you want your life to be, in the future, everything that you want, things the way you want it, and to be very specific. And I did that. I've done that more than once, and it's a really great exercise. And what's really most fascinating of all is things begin to appear, the things that I wrote in those stories. So
yeah,
that's a really powerful way of taking control of your life story, right?
Yeah, and there's some really interesting research around that. They found there was one study that was done in which they asked students to write really write down what their plans were and you know, in detail. And they had their experience was very similar to yours. They began because it allowed them to think more clearly, not to say, "Hey, I want to be a music star." Okay, that's not a plan. So, but if you told me the story of how you became a music star, and if you wrote that down in detail, it allows you to begin to walk into that story. And one of the interesting things was they found that people who did that, these students went to the health clinic fewer times. Then
wow.
You know, it was all random. Yeah. So we're healthier when we're connected to the future and we are envisioning these possibilities and mm-hmm. we perform better. There's another similar study. They asked kids to tell about how they got an A in the course, not to envision they just getting the A, but tell, you know, write down the process of that. And they did better than the students who didn't do that. So, being able to tell a story about the future can help us make it happen. And so we have to, you're getting good at that. There's a lot of things we want to make better in our world, right? And if we, all of us are better equipped imaginally to be able to do that with story, I think we can solve a lot of our problems that we're facing today.
I agree with you, Richard. And we've been really good masters of telling the negative stories of the future as a society, you know. Just watch the
right.
news and you hear the negative story. Just read anything and you'll hear the negative story of our future, all of our futures. But if we can turn that around and start telling the positive story, because, you know, there's those negative stories as well that impact us. But if we could all turn around and tell the positive story, wow, I think we can go really, really far. I love that. That makes me really excited. Nice.
Yeah,
so,
you know, one of the things... Yeah, we're probably running out of time, so I'll let you,
no, we have
you go ahead.
Time. You go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say one of the things I was going to say is that, you know, thinking about what you just said is that, you know, we're wired for negative. You know, if you think evolutionarily, we had to be very wary of the world. You know, there was a tiger around every corner and all kinds of danger. And not that we don't live in danger today, but we had to become very wary and be very attuned to all the possible bad things that could happen. And so people would tell cautionary tales, you know, be careful of that, be careful of that. And after a while, you know, you learn to look for the bad.
Right.
So we have to, and, you know, in the news, you know, they what's the old saying? And, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, if something terrible has happened, a train wreck, you know, that's the lead story. And so if all you do is watch the local news, you think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And so we have to choose what we consume and realize that that those people, they have an agenda. They want to sell newspapers or, you know, get us to tune into their news hour or whatever. And that may not be the best thing for our souls, is to be pickling in that juice, as I often say. You know, it tends to pickle our brains in a certain way, and I don't think it's useful.
No, not useful at all. Not useful at all. Good. So let's talk for a minute about how to get a hold of you and your book, Richard.
Well, good. Well, thank you for that. So, one, the book is already up on Amazon. So if you go to Story Intelligence or Richard Stone Story Intelligence, the book officially launches March 18th, which is in a few days, but you can pre-order it, and actually the paperback is already available. And then people can find me at storyintelligence.com or storywork.com. And I'd love to hear from you and talk to you. We're putting out a lot of media all the time. We're interviewing people. We have a wonderful little show we call Explorations, where I interview, like you're doing with me, but experts on story. Yeah, so we're post. That's a vlog. And so we've got a number of those, and we're putting one up every week or two. And I think they're pretty interesting. So you can check that out on YouTube.
Very nice. Very good. So it's storywork.com or storyintelligence.com. You'll find Richard and his book. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener today, something that's deeply on your heart today?
Well, I think that the thing I would say to all of you is this is a great time to be alive, I think. We have the opportunity to become masters of our story. And yes, we've got lots of challenges, But if we can master the power of story, I think that there's no challenge that we can't face, because we are really, we have the capacity to create a new story and a new future.
Yeah, that's so true. And we really need one now. We've had a story going on for just about a year, right, that we don't like. And so it's time to
start a story that
we're kind of tired of that story. So it's time to start another story, a story of encouragement. What would you say to everyone that's listening about, as we're beginning, it looks like we're beginning to come out of this pandemic, a word of encouragement?
Well, I think that in times of distress like this, this is also there have been a lot of positives, I think, and people have, a lot of people are getting together and spending more time with their families than they ever did, and in some ways that's good, and maybe not so good in other ways, but I think that there's been a lot to learn from this, and I don't think we're going to go back to the way we were. We're going to create new ways, and sometimes something like this has to shake up our lives and disrupt life. And so it's a restart. And when you have a restart, you don't necessarily have to just hit the play button. You can ask the question, how do I want to restart? How do I want to live my life?
Mm-hmm.
What's balance look like? And I think that's the great opportunities for us to look for what's good in this. And what do we want to carry forward that's good, and so that we don't just go back to the same old grind? What do we want to carry forward with us, and what would we like to leave behind? And I think it's a fabulous opportunity from that point of view.
I totally agree with you, Richard. It gives us time to pause a little bit and to be more conscious about our life, because there wasn't all that running around to go here, there, and everywhere and every event, right? So we had more time to really pay attention. That's what happens. Pay attention to your life. What is it that you're liking about it? Were you doing things just because everybody was doing it, right? Or just because someone suggested it, or just because of what you did every Friday night? Now it's time to really make some good choices. Do you want to add anything else before we close?
No, I just think that this is a time for the building of new stories.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the thing I would encourage people to do is take more time to be listening to each other's stories. And if we do those two things, we're going to be in really good shape.
Awesome. Really good. Well, thank you so much, Richard, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Remember that as soon as this is done, there will be a replay of this right on the same link. So pass this around. You know, one of Richard's desires is to make the world better through storytelling. And this can be done, but you have to spread the message. So the link will be right there. Spread it to everyone. Thank you for listening in. And catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.